Hello, everyone. Welcome to Toonami Therapy on March 7th of 2024. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And this is our podcast, Toonami Therapy, where we talk about anime and other things we've been watching, including some ones that are actually, in fact, on Toonami. All right, so I guess we'll just start with those then. So we've got Toonami episode 4. We've got Ninja Kamui episode 4.
Yeah.
All right. So unlike last time, where I kind of embarrassed myself by not being able to remember anything, I can actually remember things a little better this time. All right. Mm-hmm. So basically, I can remember the plot. I can't remember anyone's name in this series, unfortunately. I might as well just call like the main character Mr. Kamui or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Mr. Kamui gets a gets this phone call from someone who says that they'll be willing to help them, but you know he has to go meet with them. We also see a bit more of the. I'm just going to call them the Legion of Doom. The Legion of Doom, because they sit around the table. We also get a bunch of we just get flashbacks about Mr. Kamui's backstory and some of the other ninjas, and you know how he kind of, I think, left the ninja place by breaking the codes or whatever. Then ultimately he's like, you know, going to meet with the he ends up running into one of the people he worked with before as a ninja. And yeah, that's the episode. And then there is some other stuff with the FBI people, but I don't know if their stuff is important yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my problem is that I can't figure out what the plot of this show is. It's just basically Mr. Kamui kills people and tries not to get killed. Pretty much, that's all it is. So, I'm having a very hard time following along with it. And I think that's a major problem, because if I don't know what's going on, there's no way I can get invested in the show. This is even worse than stuff like Michiko and Hatchin, where at least in Michiko and Hatchin, there was some humor to it. You know, there some of the stuff was amusing, but this is just blood, 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 and killing, 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 and then the people at what you call the Legion of Doom sitting around a table and thinking up things. And yeah, this has been a pretty awful show so far. So how many more episodes we got of this thing?
I'm not sure. I'm going to get, I think I'm going to, how many episodes is this? I think it's 12. So we've got 8 left.
Oh my. Are you serious?
I don't think it's that bad. I mean, I admit to having some of the issues. I'm kind of a little confused about exactly what we're going with the plot. I mean, I get, okay. So he wants to try to get revenge on the bad guys, and the Legion of Doom is trying to stop him, but it is just, I kind of feel like I get all the general stuff, but the more specific things, I feel like either I'm dumb and not understanding, or maybe I'm perfectly smart and it's just not doing a good job explaining it, or maybe there's just not really that much to the plot in that regard yet. Maybe things will get a bit more explained. But right now, I mean, I don't dislike the series. I just kind of find it to be there. It's a series that's got a kind of mid-plot. It's got some decent action. But other than that, it's just kind of a thing to spend half an hour on before we get to Demon Slayer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even Demon Slayer turned things around, so I guess there's still a chance of this turning things around, too.
Okay. Anyway, so that's there. I mean, I'm still going to say this still, this is still, even if I just think it's just kind of okay, I'd honestly say this is still one of the better sort of Toonami original things. I mean, I'd say it beats all of the FLCL sequels, if nothing else. And also Housing Complex C. Although Housing Complex C, I always kind of, just for that utterly baffling final episode, where, again, the first half of it is just basically a character narrating. And that's like the first half of the episode, a character just explaining the plot. Oh, that was a while ago. Anyway, that's the main thing I remember about that episode. Just the fact that it legitimately felt like they suddenly realized, wait, we've only got four episodes? Okay, we better exposition dump some stuff fast. Okay. So, after that, we've got Demon Slayer episode 41. All right. Here we've got... Here we've got them. So there's fighting the Gyutaro. That's his name. Tanjiro has to leave for a bit to try to get Nezuko away while the other characters, including Sound Hashira guy, fight him. Sound Hashira guy does get poisoned, but it's... I was a little confused about whether the thing was that he... Was he holding off the poison, or was it going to kill him and he's fighting until then? I was a little confused about exactly what the status of it was there. And so maybe he's in real strong danger. In any event, everyone ends up fighting Gyutaro and Daki. They're fighting Gyutaro and Daki and, yeah, most of the episode is action, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. This has been a pretty good arc, I feel. Although I was hoping for some more entertainment out of the Entertainment District arc. It looks like we just got the district, but we didn't get the entertainment part of it. But it's still entertaining. It's just we didn't get to the part where they went and entertained themselves. Pretty good, I think.
Yeah, the next arc is just the Swordsmith Village, and then the one after that is, which hasn't aired yet. Well, I think they aired part of it, Hashira Training. So it's literally called the Hashira Training Arc. So I don't know if it's actually going to be a full-on training arc or if that's just a name and it's not actually going to be that much about the training.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, just, you know, since it was pretty heavily action-based, I don't know if there's that much to say about it. I mean, we did get, like, you know, I guess some, like, backstory on the demons. I guess they wanted to do that now so that, you know, they could do it now instead of just trying to shove it all on us just before they die, like most of the previous demons had when they died. I know Bleach was pretty guilty of the, okay, I'm about to die, I'll have my big flashback that explains everything about my character and backstory. But oh man, does Demon Slayer do that even more. Although it actually didn't do that for the villain in Mugen Train. That was kind of surprising. We didn't get anything from there. But everyone else, it seems like we got them. Anyway. Yeah, so that's Demon Slayer. Then we have Licorice Recoil, Episode 7. Alright, so in this one, let me understand what this going on. Right, so they basically are trying to, I can't remember his name. The guy who's kind of in charge of their cafe, you know, the black guy, I can't remember his name. Well, anyway, they're trying to figure out what he's doing, so they kind of tail him. It turns out he's just meeting with this guy, but that, so they're like saying, oh, well, whatever. But then Chisato recognizes him as the guy who saved her life a while ago, so she wants to like go to him and like try to thank him, but he denies that, at least initially, although you know we know it's actually him. So we have some stuff there. So that was the stuff there. Then we also have, of course, all a bunch more stuff of Majima going around and causing havoc and such. And that was the main stuff of the episode. A lot of it really was just, I guess, going a little more into Chisato's backstory and how it relates to the current things.
Yeah, and then we're going to find out why Seiken dodges bullets.
Did we get that? I thought we got that already. She can. I just don't know if we know why she can.
Yeah, that's the question. Okay. Why can't she do it? You know? It wasn't my favorite episode.
Yeah.
But,
Sorry, we're usually kind of quick on Licorice Recoil just because we've already seen it, but
we already gave a full-on review of this a long time ago. So
yeah, we just kind of go through it a little fast because just in case there's anything we wanted to comment. I don't have too much to really say about that. So all right, One Piece, we're on episode 657. Yeah. Okay. So in this one, we basically, what do we really get exactly? Bartolomeo ends up, seeing, Zoro and, was it Frankie who was with Zoro or was it, what's his name? The samurai guy. I can't remember which one was with Zoro.
Law.
It wasn't Law. Law was somewhere, Law was with the other Straw Hats. I can't remember. But anyway, he's actually this giant fanboy of Luffy and the Straw Hats. So he's just excited to talk to Zoro and ends up saying, yeah, I'll bring Luffy to you. So he leaves. We get a bunch of fighting with Rebecca, and then we find out, yeah, she's like a strong fighter, but really she just beats everyone by knocking them out of the arena rather than actually beating them up because. And that was largely the episode, really.
Yes, she copied my strategy from Super Smash Brothers, which is anytime there's a four-player event, you always just run away while the other three people beat each other up, and then once they've gotten themselves down to just one left, then you finally go and fight them head on, and you're so far ahead that you easily win. I used that at a tournament one time. I wasn't exactly that popular for doing that, but I got through the first round by doing that. So yeah, that's kind of what she's doing, and makes me wonder why she even entered this contest if she can't really fight. I thought that we were going to see her like do something amazing. So yeah, I didn't understand that too much. The Luffy fanboy thing was kind of funny. Although I don't know why anyone would be a fanboy of Luffy, but okay. And, and what was going on with Law in this episode?
Wasn't he fighting Doflamingo?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yes, and oh, I'm sorry. I gave the wrong. I said this was episode 657. It's 656. Just wanted to briefly correct my mistake there. Yeah, it's Law fighting Doflamingo. Well, Doflamingo is the main villain of the arc, and Law. So, and So we're fighting him pretty early, and it's not even the main character who's fighting him. So I don't know, man. This could be anyone's game. Who knows whether Law will beat Doflamingo?
We know who has to beat Doflamingo. We just are a long way away from that happening.
You know, I'm reminded that there was a – I was just thinking about, okay, have there been any times where someone other than Luffy beat, like, the main boss of, like, the arc? And I'm kind of thinking we'll be fair and not count ones where no one happened to beat them in that arc because they, like, just had to fight the minions and then go on or whatever. And I'm thinking, well, Law later on does – in Wano, he does beat someone who was the main boss of the previous arc. but not that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And then we've got, we usually don't discuss it, but we're doing it this time. Naruto Shippuden episode 479. The last episode. Kind of, but not really. But it's the last episode, I think, that was actually taken from the manga, and it's an adaptation again of the second to last chapter of the series. The last chapter of Naruto was just after a time skip thing. Anyway, so let's see, Naruto and Sasuke in their fight that lasted how many episodes was that? I actually let me check. I think it was about, yeah, where they went at each other for about three episodes without not really much happening in that. Basically, they essentially both beat each other and both lose an arm in the process. After that, Sasuke is like, yeah, you know, maybe I was being really stupid and wrong when I tried to kill you over these episodes. It kind of feels like the author just needed a final confrontation between the two of us. So, sorry about that. And So then they're all just, well, okay, well, that's okay, you're forgiven. And apparently they managed to get him off the hook for all the crimes he committed too. So, okay.
Anyway. And then he gets the final word of this episode, not Naruto, even though the episode title is Naruto Uzumaki.
That is, to be fair.
Yeah.
That's somewhat mitigated by the fact the final, well, he's the final character to say something. We do get some narration at the end, which is all about Naruto. So that at least kind of goes there. But anyway, yeah, so Naruto mentions that, don't worry, he'll totally be able to get his arm back through technobabble. And other than that, it's just kind of doing some epilogue stuff. There is a decent amount of stuff in this episode is actually padding. Although not, like, maybe, I don't know if I would call it padding or filler. I kind of feel when I say padding, it's just making stuff take longer. This was like, you know, adding extra scenes and stuff. Like the part where it's mentioned, well, Naruto, technically you're actually still a genin, so you do have to actually still pass the Chunin exam. And has to do some studying to do so. But other than that kind of stuff was added. But yeah, most of that stuff I felt, yeah, it worked out okay. And yeah, so that was basically the episode. Oh yeah, Kakashi becomes Hokage for the record. And yeah, everything works out well for the characters, and that's basically the end of Naruto. Kind of. We do have another season, which is mostly a bunch of filler stuff.
Hold on a second. Why did Kakashi become Hokage?
Well, who else would do it?
Well, what happened to Tsunade?
You mean that? Yeah, I mean, I guess Naruto could have done it, but he's still kind of young. I don't know. Did she, I don't know if she retired or if she quit or what. I just know that he became it. There's a lot of episodes, again, of this that I missed. I don't know if she resigned at some point. Maybe it specified that, or maybe Kakashi just mentioned that he had become it, and I'm not sure. So Unfortunately, I'm not 100% sure. Let me take a quick look to see if I can if I can see something explicitly on it. Let's see. I don't know. I'm glancing at this stuff. I don't think it's specified. I think we're just supposed to assume she just resigned or something. But I don't know if it was ever explicitly said. It's just like, okay, Kakashi, you're the Hokage now. Which is kind of weird that that happens to him after he basically got nerfed because he lost the use of the Sharingan. So, okay, yeah, I would say, yeah, I actually thought this was a decent conclusion to the series. Conclusion with an asterisk again. But...
yeah.
After a very, very, very overly long final arc, I do think it managed to bring things to a fairly fulfilling conclusion, even if there is some, even if it kind of had to force some stuff with Sasuke to make them fight and have, and then after that say, well, I guess I'm cleared of all charges because Naruto and Kakashi like me. Yay, nepotism!
Yeah. It was an episode, that's for sure. Not really sure what else to say, but I thought it was kind of amusing. And of course, they have that whole paper stack joke where they're always joking about whoever's Hokage has to fill out all this paperwork. Like, what is this paperwork about? You know, like, it doesn't seem like most of their missions require paperwork. So I don't really know what that's all about. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It was an episode. And, you know, that's all I got.
You know, it occurs to me, if there's a lot of paperwork, couldn't someone just make a bunch of shadow clones to make it all go way faster? Because, and remember, when the shadow clone disappears, you get all the memories of it, too. So you don't, like, forget things. Maybe they're worried that it'll be like that filler episode where Naruto's shadow clones get upset and go on strike, although that all turned out to be a dream. I don't really think I can do a full, you know, hey, this is what I thought about Naruto and things, because one, there's just so much of it, and second, a lot of the final arc I didn't see. I didn't really read it in the a bunch of the later stuff in the manga, and we only kind of watched it sporadically when it was in anime form. But I do think, yeah, it was a decent ending. I am a little surprised that at least when I look over the episode descriptions, I don't really see something that seems to be a adaptation of the final a chapter of the series, so maybe that's someplace else. But yeah, the remaining 21 episodes are kind of filler things. It's some of it is sort of like, you know, just kind of bridging the gap between this and the like post Boruto time skip.
Boruto.
Yeah, Boruto. I said post Boruto time skip. That doesn't make any sense. It's not afterwards and stuff like, you know, hey, you know how these characters got together? Well, here's showing a little of that, I guess. That kind of stuff. So I don't know how much of that we'll be watching, but it was a little nice to see the conclusion asterisk of Naruto.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's it for Toonami stuff then, and we can move on to the other things that we've got. Okay, let me just take one. This is something I should have done before. I'm just trying to check on something. Oh, yeah. It looks like if you wanted to... The elements in the final chapter of Naruto, I'm looking at the Naruto Wiki to see what the corresponding anime episodes were. It looks like it lists Naruto Shippuden number 479, which is the one we saw. So some of that was in here, I think. Then... Yeah, I think that was just a final narration. I think that final narration was in the last chapter of the series. And then if you want to see the rest, well, watch Boruto episode 24 and 106. All right. And there we go. That's our Toonami stuff. Let's move on to the other series that we watched. Okay. Mm-hmm. I did want to just mention, I actually, since we were staying up for that, I did watch Dragon Ball Z Kai episode 2, and I was thinking, oh wow, so seeing some of the early stuff is interesting, just to realize, oh wow, you know, it's well known now, you know, oh, Goku, he's like a Saiyan from another planet who was sent here and all that stuff, and I'm thinking, must have been really... And that's how we were introduced to him in English. Because we started with Dragon Ball Z. This would have been like the second episode of it. But way back in Japan, this would have been like a gigantic plot twist. Because we had no idea about it before. And it is a little funny to when people are talking about power levels and the numbers are so small compared to later things. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, these characters have... Like, wow, Goku had, I think they said something about he had a power level like 300. Remember how later on Vegeta does that famous freak out about his power being over 9,000? It's like, wow, only 300. Well, he came a long way. I don't know if they're still giving numbers, but I think they're probably, I think Frieza had a power of 1 million. I don't know what they're at now. They must be in the billions with the crazy power scaling this series has.
Right, but that wasn't even Frieza's final form. So we don't know how much it is because that wasn't his final form.
I think, well, it's one of those weird things where when we talk a final form, do you mean like his original final form, or do you mean that later Golden Frieza thing in Dragon Ball Super?
No, I meant it as a joke.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay. What was Frieza's? You know, the wiki has all this information, actually. After the Frieza saga, the only power level stated by a scout in the series is that of future Trunks. But then some, like, extra material gives some information. I am kind of curious. I underestimated Frieza. His power... When he was initially fought, his final form, his true form there, was up to 120 million. So it's just funny to remember Vegeta freaks out over it being over 9,000. And then, like, the guy in the next arc is 120 million. By the way, fun fact, Vegeta, the big over 9,000 meme, that was just in the original dub. What Vegeta actually said in Japanese, and in the subsequent dub, is over 8,000. That was the actual line. For some reason, it got changed to 9,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway. All right. I think that's it for that then. I could probably look more into power levels, but people probably aren't that super interested. All right. So, right. Done with the Toonami stuff. It just was a little interesting to look back at what the series was like at the very start when it aired in the U.S., where you had things like, oh, yeah, Piccolo. He was kind of a villain at first, but then he became a good guy. So, and other things. All right. Before, I'm going to try to avoid doing more babbling stuff. So, let's move on to Shangri-La Frontier. Episode 14. So Sunraku is fighting that character, that other character, screen name Dragonfly, apparently. In the other game, Burp, they called it. And he actually manages to, the other guy manages to win because he accidentally unlocks a new bug, because everyone in that game just plays with the bugs. So they have that. There's a bunch of stuff there. I'm going to assume he's going to end up being an important character at some point later on. Then we end, they end up going, we go back into actual Shangri-La Frontier, the game, and then, so then Sunraku does the important and very interesting to watch process of combining his skills. And ultimately, where then they are just do some more planning for fighting Weathermon, and there's some information about how they're going to, they will probably have to deal with the other PK members from Pencilgon's guild, because they don't want them to beat Weathermon. So they need to fight them first. So, yes, and that was our episode. It was one of those ones where kind of not much happened, but at the same time, I didn't really mind it.
Yeah, this felt like not much happened, honestly. I felt like, okay, we had this whole entire thing about him lugging a big potion that had a stick in it. And he had to drink that to get his powers, which is like, okay, yeah, this is something you'd see in a video game, but why should I be interested in it? I mean, I don't know. I feel kind of like it's trying, this show's purpose is to teach us how video games work. But in doing that, it's kind of just, I don't know. It's just not very exciting. So
I think this is pretty consistently a series where when it goes for comedy, it works really well. When it goes for more specific, like playing of games, it's usually not quite as interesting, because it is just kind of, hey, this is people playing a game, except, you know, it's not even a real game you can go and play. So it's not even like, you know, a Let's Play or watching someone stream it. So that's the problem. But at the same time, I, unlike some previous ones, I kind of got some enjoyment of the episode. I think when they were in Shangri-La for tearing this episode, I liked it less than when they were in the other game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, then we've got my teen... one quick thing to just mention for anyone who's actually listening along, watching along with us. The next episode listed on Crunchyroll is 14.5. That's a recap episode. We're just planning to skip that and go to episode 15.
Yeah, although I might watch it anyway, but it's not of prime importance.
Yeah. In any event, I might also watch it out of curiosity, see if there's a decent framing device or whatever. But in any rate, we'll be watching episode 15 for the next podcast episode.
Right.
All right.
And I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, because that way I remember it.
Okay. So after that, we've got my teen romantic comedy Snafu, episode 23. So, basically, they end up explain it? Right. Basically, they decide, okay, we've got to actually make everyone at the student council hunker down and get everything to work and stop wasting time so that we can make this Christmas event work. So they basically go there, and then they have, and then basically through the power of saying, hey, of speeches, I guess, not even like exactly speech, more the thing where, you know, you say, okay, I'm going to completely analyze your character and explain what you need to improve, sort of speech. They manage to convince them. They manage to get everyone to work together, and they have the Christmas event, and it works out fine. And that is our episode.
Yeah, and surprisingly, I thought it actually worked pretty well. A lot of times I'm baffled by the conversations people are having because they don't really have any substance to them. And that's kind of what the first part of this episode was like. It was, they were just saying things that didn't really mean anything. And eventually they just all kind of got together and did the whole Christmas thing. And it worked out perfectly. And that's all they had to do. They didn't have to argue with each other and go through all this stuff that they did. And now Yukino is kind of changing a lot. I noticed she's acting differently from her usual self. Like, I guess they figured, like, okay, they're waiting for the writers are probably like, okay, the fans are waiting for to find out who Hachiman is going to end up with, so we better start doing something about that. So they start changing Yukino's personality, I guess, in order to make her a little more normal of a human being rather than being a miserable human being, which she's been pretty much the whole series. So yeah, that so Yukino's getting closer with Hachiman, and I was fully expecting that Yui would be the first one to do that because it only makes sense. You know, you have Hachiman try with Yui and then that fails, and then you know, the OTP ends up working out perfectly. So I'm still confused what's going on with that whole romance thing, but that's why there's a season three, I guess, in order to flesh that out even more once this is over. So anyway, I like the episode. Some things I didn't like about it, but overall I liked it a lot.
I liked it too, although a lot of that might have just been relief that the student council arc is done. Because this lasted like 5 episodes. A few more if you count, you know, the actual election such stuff. Yeah. And it was just, I felt such a downgrading quality.
Yeah.
So, and it's over. So hopefully now we can move on to more interesting things in the remaining, how many episodes left do we have this season? 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that's that episode. All right. Then we've got Full Metal Panic Fumofu episode 6. Do you want to describe these?
Yeah. Yeah. So basically what happens is that there's word on the street that there is a perverted guy going around. He's called Pony, and he goes around and assaults girls. And sure enough, he gets Kyoko. And what ends up happening is that he puts her hair in a ponytail. And then he goes up against Kaname. And the same thing happens, except that Sosuke is watching her as Bonta-kun, and then this crazy police officer gets into a gunfight with Bonta-kun, and they fight each other all this time, and then out of nowhere, Kaname runs into them with Pony, and they're able to catch Pony and do the Scooby-Doo thing and pull off his mask and find out who he really is. And they find out that he likes ponytails on girls. But now he's going to be going away for a long, long time, just like all those Scooby-Doo villains. So they solve that problem, but not before a whole bunch of hilarious antics between Sosuke in the Bump the Coon suit and the pony who could only say the word pony like a Pokemon. And so it was back and forth, Pony and Fumofu, between the two of those. And then the second half of the episode, Sosuke can't get scared by almost anything. So Kaname has the brilliant idea of taking him into this old haunted hospital and trying to scare him there. And he keeps on not getting scared until finally something happens with Kaname where she, the floor falls under her. Then it turns out that this was like another one of those Scooby-Doo things where they were just trying to scare people away, which is like, it sounds so much like a Scooby-Doo episode. But then on the way home, Kaname gets Sosuke to admit that he was scared for just a second. So she ends up winning that battle. But this episode was really funny. And yeah, there's not much more to say about it.
I'm kind of surprised it didn't go with the, because usually when you have this sort of plot in, when, you know, there seem to be ghosts or weird stuff going on, then it turns out, oh no, it's just like, you know, weird rant, either misunderstandings to people faking it. And then at the end, it's always like, oh, but there actually is a ghost. Like, you know, Attack on Titan Junior High did that. But here, it doesn't do that. Well, it seems like it's doing, it does that. But then it turns out, no, that was actually a fake too. I guess it makes a little sense if maybe they don't want to actually introduce ghosts into this continuity as, you know, kind of goofy a continuity as it is. This is technically supposed to be in canon with the rest of the series.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, these were kind of fun episodes. And it was, like you said, basically scaring people away like a Scooby-Doo episode, which, you know, would that even work nowadays? I'm pretty sure that if you were, like, you know, doing fake ghost stuff to try to scare things away, you'd probably get a lot of, you know, the kind of people who, like, want to explore haunted houses and stuff going in there. I mean, there's literal TV shows about people going to these places. It seems like that would just bring people there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, not too much else to say about these. They were fun episodes. That ironically also kind of brings us into the next show, which I suggested. So yeah, this one's Dark Gathering. It's on High Dive. Basically, the plot, this is, so this, unlike that one, yeah, the ghosts are real in this one. So basically the plot is our main character, what was his name again? Kaitaro, right. He's this guy who actually senses ghosts and gets kind of harassed by them. He ends up having to tutor the cousin of one of his friends, but it turns out that she's completely obsessed with ghosts and stuff and can actually see them, and drags him along to try to go to check out this haunted phone booth, where, you know, are those, I legitimately wonder, are those still really a thing in Japan? Because they are, like, not a thing, at least where I live in the U.S. I don't even know, think we've got any phone booths in my city anymore. But anyway, so they do that. It ends up attacking him, but Yayoi, that's her name, beats Ed and kind of takes it. And captures it, and then I guess let some other spirits she captured rip it apart. And yeah, that was the general plot of the episode. I kind of skipped. Oh yeah, she can. Also, she's got these two pupils in her eyes, which make it look like them like skulls. Because her parents got killed in this accident involving a ghost, and things. So, yeah, so that was our first episode. I'm kind of curious about what you thought of it.
Yeah, well, I was surprised because it's a horror anime, and we don't really watch too many horror stuff, not or at least not since Tokyo Ghoul completely failed. So, you know, it was kind of interesting to see a horror-style anime, but with humor mixed in. Mm-hmm. And I thought it worked pretty well for the first episode in getting me interested in what it's about. It still felt to me a little bit like, okay, why are they going back to this phone booth over and over and over again just to have this one ghost come out. That was a little confusing to me, but I thought it was a pretty good beginning. I like the characters. The main character is a pretty good main character, I think. And the creepy girl, you know, she works pretty well too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the older girl, she kind of makes things work too. So yeah, I thought it was a fairly good first episode, and I'm interested in seeing more.
Yes, it was. I liked it. I did already watch the first few episodes when I was kind of looking at some series to try to consider one to watch. So this was, I had already seen this, although I did a while ago, although I hadn't seen the dub before. In terms of dub, the voices are okay. I'm Yayoi, that's her name, the girl with the sort of skull eyes. She's really good. The others are just, you know, okay. I kind of feel like Yayoi is doing a lot of the carrying of the show in general in this episode, because she was the best thing about it.
Yeah.
Like stuff where she just immediately says, "Let's go someplace haunted."
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think I originally might have described this as a horror comedy. I think it's more accurate to say it is a horror series with some comedy in it. But the comedy is good, and it helped lighten some stuff up so that it never got too overly serious. I was a little surprised. I was remembering, oh yeah, some parts of this are kind of violent, weren't they?
Hmm.
So yeah, I also enjoyed it. Well, I suggested it, so. Yeah, I think this was a pretty good start to the series, so we'll see how it goes after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. One fun thing is that I believe if we watch the series one episode per week, by the time we get to the end of the series, the English manga, the translation, will have caught up to the point where the anime left off. So I can start reading that then. All right. I don't have anything else to say about the shows we watched, so I guess we can give our rankings for them.
Yeah. Let's see. What's today's date?
The 7th.
7th of March. Okay. All right. Well, for this week, third place, I'm going to give it to Naruto for lifetime achievement purposes. And second place will be Dark Gathering. And first place will be Snafu, because it finally got us through that difficult arc and had a pretty good conclusion to it. And it brings up the possibility of an actual romance in this show. So I'm pretty optimistic about it. So Snafu wins this week, but Naruto did get on the board, so congratulations to Naruto for that.
Yes, I also kind of feel I owe it to give Naruto a spot for this. It was a decent episode anyway, but so yeah, I will put third place Naruto Shippuden. Second place would be, just pondering exactly the order I would want to. Yes, let's do Dark Gathering in second place, and I'll give Fumofu first.
Okay.
And yes, so that's them. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about while we're here?
Yeah. So since we finished watching the One Piece on Netflix, I figured I'd check out the Cowboy Bebop series on Netflix to see, see what it's like. So I watched the first episode, and I was surprised. It wasn't really too bad. It was actually pretty good, and it kind of actually did follow somewhat the plot of the first episode of the show. But there's things I don't like about it. I don't like that they turn Jet into like this guy who always just swears and curses and yells and gets angry all the time, which he wasn't like that in the anime. He was actually kind of a good-natured guy in the anime. So why they made him like this raging lunatic is beyond me. Faye Valentine gets introduced in the first episode, and no, not the way she was introduced in the original series. The original series had a great introduction to her, which made her such an iconic character. And this series, you just suddenly see someone holding a gun behind Spike Spiegel's head, and then you see, oh, it's her. And, so I didn't like those parts of it. I did like the guy who played Spike Spiegel. In fact, I liked all the actors. I just didn't like what they did to the character. Like, I mean, I know there's, like, some people had controversy about, you know, well, why are they changing the races of the characters? I don't have any problem with the races of the characters. I just had a problem with the way they made Jet, like, really angry. And that just didn't seem to be him, not the guy I remember from the original series. But, overall, the first episode was pretty good. Gave a pretty good introduction to the characters. My assumption is that Radical Edward is never going to show up because she was never shown anywhere in the opening theme song, which they purposely made sure to have only three characters in that opening sequence, which, you know, has the old music from the show, but it has, like, live-action video to it. So they did a very good job with that. I just don't think they're going to ever add Radical Edward to the show, which is a shame because she adds so much fun to the show in its second half of the series. But, I thought it was pretty good, and I'm certainly interested in watching more. I think there are 10 episodes, so maybe yes. If I just watch one per week, you know, I could give my reports on them. But, I don't think it's as bad as people say, but then again, I did watch the first episode only, and usually, a show is going to put out its best self in its first episode because they know they need that to make a good first impression for people to keep watching. But yeah,
they didn't do that with The Eminence in Shadow.
But anime have a 3-episode rule. See,
okay. Sorry to interrupt. You can keep going if you had anything else.
No, that was all I really had.
Okay. In regards to Edward, I haven't watched the show, but I actually do know the answer to that. Do you want me to tell you or?
Yeah, go ahead and tell me.
Okay. Ed shows up at the very end of the 10th episode as sort of kind of an obvious teaser for, oh, Ed's going to be a player role in the next season. But the series was canceled after the first season, so we won't get to see that. But Ed does show up, but only again at like the very end as essentially a teaser for the season that didn't happen.
Oh, okay. That's... So it got canceled.
Yes, it had one season and it wasn't pop, and they, I guess, didn't get the views or wasn't popular enough or any of that sort of thing for them to renew it. Unlike One Piece, where after I think like a week or two after a premiere, they announced it was renewed.
Yeah, this is clearly a very big budget undertaking, so I can see why it would get canceled, because it's definitely very high budget.
I know the creator of the original Cowboy Bebop didn't like the show, and he didn't have much to do with it. So, that's the thing that people point to in the One Piece, because the original creator of One Piece was very involved in it. So, but yeah, I can't really speak to this. I haven't seen it. I am curious to see what you think of later episodes. Maybe it is one of those shows that people kind of piled on and were a little unfair to. We'll see. Other than that, yeah, that's a criticism a lot of people make of Netflix, how they just keep canceling series. But sometimes they renew them, like their Avatar The Last Airbender live action was apparently popular enough. They announced that they renewed it for 2 seasons. I think they renewed it for 2 seasons, but only 2 seasons. Like, it'll be, okay, this series will be 3 seasons long, which makes sense because the original cartoon was 3 seasons. So I'm going to assume they'll just go through that. You never watched Avatar, though, right?
No.
Okay.
By the way, did you hear that the studio that made Ruby is closing down?
Rooster Teeth? Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
They made at least the original one. Did they make Ice Queendom? I assume, I know they were at least somewhat involved, but I don't know if maybe a different studio handled them. Okay, Shaft was the one that actually handled the anime, with presumably, obviously, some oversight by Rooster Teeth. So yes, we don't know. Yes, people don't know what that will mean for Ruby, which. Or there are other things. Some people are speculating that just sell some of their properties off and maybe some will continue. I'm not sure myself. I still haven't seen Ruby. I saw Ice Queendom, obviously, but I didn't really see the original series. I keep hearing that the series got really bad later on. So. Okay. Well, that was interesting to hear about. I'll mention it. I did recently rewatch through JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stardust Crusaders, the first part of it, not the second. I've been watching all this stuff. I watched it dubbed in Spanish, so the voices were a little different, but rewatching it, I think, it was a pretty solid show. There were some weak episodes, there were some parts I didn't like, but on the whole, it was a pretty good show. Although one thing that did repeatedly start annoying me is they keep getting all these injuries in the fights, and then in the next episode, they're perfectly fine. And I was thinking, maybe this is why in part 4, they made sure to have some healer character in each group to just explain that. Because in like part 4, Josuke has some healing powers. Part 5, Giorno can do it. Part 6, Foo Fighters /FF can do some of that. Anyway, so yeah, that was decent. Later on, go back and watch the second part, the Battle in Egypt one. But yeah, Stardust Crusaders, pretty good. The whole, I originally was starting like from the very beginning of the series with Phantom Blood, which Rewatching, I'm like, yeah, this isn't really that interesting. Mm-hmm. Although, to be honest, part of it might have been the fact that since I wanted to watch all this stuff Spanish dubbed to try to improve it, I was watching that. And Jonathan has the exact same voice as Subaru from ReZero in Spanish, and it kept distracting me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the voice works fine for Subaru, and with Jonathan, I'm just like, this. Wow, that doesn't sound right. Anyway, but I'm just talking Spanish stuff here. One day, maybe I'll actually get good enough that I can watch something in Spanish that I haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's it for that. I don't have anything else to say then. Do you?
No.
All right, everyone. We'll see you all next week for, well, the same stuff generally. Really? So, yep. We'll see you next time.
Bye.